Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Okay, before we hop into this interview, which I'm honestly so excited about, I mean, she's just brilliant, but I do need to talk about what training natural means. And I think where this fits into this episode so well too is that she's going to talk about all the natural benefits that really help to get to the root cause of cancer. But also, if we get to the root cause of our whole well-being, it's about understanding how to connect more to the ground. And that's really what Vivo Barefoot does. It is such a minimalist shoe that it is designed so that we feel like we're wearing nothing on our feet. And Dom and I have tried, you know, other shoe companies that are barefoot, quote unquote, or, you know, zero heel drop, and they still just don't provide that same feel and function that Vivo Barefoot really provides us, because it has that ability to like literally roll up your shoe, not just fold it, but like roll it up into a ball, because there's so much movement and flexibility allowed within your feet. And so we really want to talk about this ability to train barefoot, to get back to natural, using the feet, natural strength and movement. And we need that through a shoe. It is so incredibly imperative. I know growing up, I've always been hammered in to look for an arch support and make sure I only get a shoe with good arch support. And I'm so glad to be on the other side of that and really be using my foot more naturally. And the way that that feeds up the chain then, so that I can use my glutes, I can feel my hips, I can move and function so much more optimally within my body and actually feel the muscles working that I want to be working as I'm working out. So if you have not tried Vivo Barefoot shoes yet, now here's the thing, when you click the link in our show notes, so if you find the show notes, click the link, you automatically get a 15% discount, or you can use code OPTIMAL when you go check out. Anytime you're on their site, use this code because you get 15% off. So whether you're buying it for a friend or a family member, which I try to get all my friends and family members into these shoes, or using it for yourself, go check out Vivo Barefoot. Start to break your foot into a more natural experience. Your body's going to thank you, really. We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast.
For our interview today, we're so excited to have Dr. Lee Aaron Keneally, who's a prominent leader in the integrative and functional medicine medical field, taking the best of all sciences, including conventional, homeopathic, Eastern medicine, and the new modern medicine. She is the medical director of two unique clinics, the Cancer Center for Healing and Cancer for New Medicine. The combined clinics have become the largest integrative medical clinic in North America and are visited by patients from all over the world, with 70,000 patients and growing. The Center for New Medicine focuses on a precise, personalized approach to healthcare that includes prevention, early detection of cancer, and internal medicine, along with yearly physicals, autoimmune disease, natural hormone replacement, chronic issues, and everyone's favorite, aesthetics. Dr. Keneally feels we must treat the whole person, the patient with the disease, and not the disease of the patient, while determining the origin of the illness. Dr. Keneally is the author of two books, The Cancer Revolution, published in 2017, and Be Perfectly Healthy, published in 2009, which have revolutionized the landscape of medicine. In 2017, she was named one of the top 50 functional and integrative doctors in the country. She writes for many publications, including Townsend Letter, a prominent medical magazine, and articles for Ben Greenfield, Josh Axe, and Master of Health, and WWDTY with Lynn Mittaggart. She serves on the board for Dr. Josh Axe, ACAM, and ACIM Connect. Dr. Keneally just has so much information about medicine, integrative medicine, and how she is approaching things a little bit differently, especially when it comes to cancer, early diagnosis, and treatment of cancerous processes. So stay tuned. Dr. Keneally, thank you so much for coming and talking with us today. Super excited, because we really haven't had anybody on who's talked directly about cancer or works in oncology. And so super excited to dive in a bit and glean a little bit of your knowledge.
Yeah. much as we can.
It's great to be with you guys.
So what made you start this institute and kind of move from a traditional hospital sense, especially working so intimately with cancer?
Well, there's lots of different forces that have put me in where I am today. But I would say, first of all, I grew up very natural. So my mother, you know, nursed us all, and she fed us all the foods that are fashionable today, which would be, you know, liver and sauerkraut and a ancestral eating plan. And so all the things that are very, you know, in today, bone marrow and bone broth and all that. So I grew up like that. And then the other big, I would say, the most momentous event that happened to me is I'm number three of six children, and my mother started to bleed. And so she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, we'll put you on this medicine to prevent the bleeding and loss of your baby. So, of course, a mother doesn't want to lose their child, right? So she took the medicine. And so 16 years later, my parents received a letter that that drug caused cancer in both male and female offspring, as well as hormone problems, anatomical problems, all different kinds of manifestations in different people. And so they recommended that I go to MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, where I was raised. So anyway, so it's been a very long journey with lots of different things. You know, I never had two periods in a row. I've had abnormal pap smears and those kinds of things in the female genital urinary area. I had infertility because, you know, the hormones, it just changed my whole, you know, system. And so I had to seek professional help for that. I had scoliosis, so I had 18 hours of back surgery about 3.5 years ago. And so I've been through lots of different journey experiences to know what I know now today. And I started out practicing 36 years ago, and I started out with a dietitian and teaching people how to, you know, live. Like with their weight. And the biggest problem 36 years ago was weight problems.
So we're going to take a quick pause from this naturopathic cancer chat with Dr. Keneally to talk about one of our new favorite things that we have been using almost every day. Jen has used it all throughout pregnancy to help us stay hydrated. Because one of the most important components to staying hydrated is to make sure you're getting in those electrolytes that we lose throughout the day, whether just through the natural sweating we do throughout the day without noticing, through our urine, different ways that we excrete these electrolytes and not know it. Element is made of sodium, potassium, magnesium, three of the most important electrolytes that we need every day to keep our bodies hydrated down to that cellular level. And these electrolytes are going to help us do things like prevent brain fog, sleep a little more soundly, regulate our bowel movements, have consistent and even muscle contractions, and avoid those muscle cramps. So if you want to try out Element, go down to the link in the show notes. It's just drinkelement.com/optimal. That's drinkelement, like LMNT.com/optimal. And you will get a free gift, a free sample pack with every single order. So that sample pack will help you try out all their different flavors. Find which one is your favorite so you can continue to stay hydrated all the way into the future. Go down to the link in the show notes, get your free sample pack today, and stay hydrated. All right, let's get back into the interview with Dr. Keneally.
And of course, there was other things, but weight, everybody was, you know, they didn't, you know, follow, they didn't feel like it was their fault that they had a weight problem. So I thought it was a great way to initiate my practice to teach people how to eat and exercise and all that good stuff. And so I hired a dietitian to work with me right at the time. And so I started my practice really with lifestyle management. And so, of course, I was trained to use medications, but a lot of the things that you can fix in a person are really just institute of lifestyle modification. And so fast forward about 15 years ago, I started seeing so many cancer patients. And my whole mission with myself is how to prevent cancer. And so I had learned from all these different mentors, okay, here's, you know, what you need to do, you know, to prevent cancer and so forth. And so I started my, you know, doing it probably, well, I started doing it probably 20 some odd years ago, but then it really became intense with seeing cancer patients about 15 years ago because cancer rates were, you know, really increasing, and they're even increasing more today. Mm-hmm. And so, but I have a philosophy that we need to build health, not create more of the sickness. And our system today is all reactive. It's conveyor belt. Everybody gets the same thing. The doctors don't really have to think because there's protocols in whatever you have, whether it's heart disease, congestive heart failure, cancer, everybody follows this cookbook medical protocol and never examining, okay, how does this person live? Okay, you just don't have a disease all of a sudden. You know, every disease, like heart disease, takes, you know, 10 or 20 years.
Yeah.
Cancer is from one cancer cell to tumors, 10 years. Diabetes just doesn't happen because you're pre-diabetic before you're diabetic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so hypertension, just again, all these diseases take so much time. So look at the opportunity we have to fix people right now. Mm. And so we've got to create this amazing awakening for people to know that they have the innate ability to heal themselves, and that self-care is the new healthcare. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to, you know, I know a lot of people, you're doing it in your way. Lots of people are trying to really teach people and enlighten people that they have the power.
Mm. I think that is so perfect to kind of set the stage right now. And you said something in there, actually, it was kind of a thread throughout your answer, that this learned helplessness, right? There's this helplessness people feel because they don't feel like it's their fault. You know, they don't feel like it's their fault that they've, you know, developed these things. And it, in a way, is a product of the system because they're doing the things they're being told. Oh, I'm doing these things. I'm taking these medications. But in reality, we don't just do the basic, you know, education on how to take care of your body, how to utilize and maximize the physiology that you have at your disposal, you know, depending on different lifestyle behaviors and how you can activate the physiology that lives within in a way that is going to help heal processes that may have been developing over the last decade or two, and then start to optimize your health beyond that. So I want you just to talk a little bit about how do you do things different then in this cancer institute that you have versus if someone is to go into a more traditional setting?
Right. Well, first of all, my goal with my patients, so we have two centers. We have the Center for New Medicine, which is all about prevention, precise, proactive approach to medicine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So our patients come here to get healthy and to learn how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Cancer Center for Healing. So those are patients usually that have been diagnosed with cancer or they've already done everything. We see a lot of patients who have, done the conventional surgery, chemo and radiation and smart drugs. And then we have the patients who do want to prevent, or they have a little something and they want that checked out immediately. So that's where I'm really like to focus on people really think about prevention and early detection of all diseases. Mm-hmm. And so when a patient comes in, okay, of course, we combine everything conventional. So like, you know, what's your past history? What are your allergies? What medications do you take? What screening have you had done? What's your family history? What has been anything that's contributing to what's going on right now. And then what's your blood work been? Where are your CT scans, PET scans? So we have to do the conventional workup, okay? Mm-hmm. So the conventional workup is just those things. But what I do with the patient is I go, okay, so let's talk about since you were conceived. Mm. You know, do you know anything about the pregnancy that when your mom carried you? You know, do you know what her state of being and state of mind was? Because we know that how healthy the mother is going to be how healthy the offspring is. And so that's where we really need to start was first with the intention of the mother and father wanting to have a child, because that's where I think it starts and you build from there and then you create this mother to be the most sacred, harmonious state possible to create this child. And then, you know, the mother needs to have this beautiful pregnancy. And then, so then we know that trauma in the first 7 years is very, very impactful for your entire lifetime. So what was your life like for the first 7 years? So, you know, in the conventional world, they don't ask you any of these questions.
No, not at all.
Okay. So, and you want to understand how their life was. And then I want to know, what illnesses have you had? Did you have acne? And did you take, 3 years of antibiotics? Well, if you take 3 years of antibiotics, what happens? You create an abundance of fungus and candida in the body, which is a perfect setting for cancer to grow because candida and fungus are very similar to cancer. And so if you've taken antibiotics for chronic sinus infections or antibiotics for chronic anything, or let's say you had a serious motor vehicle accident, I mean, all of these things, did you have an abortion? All these things, there's a great book called Your Body Keeps Score. Your body keeps score of every single thing that's happened to you. So you have to turn all those things into positive experiences, all right? Mm. Then I go, how do you sleep? Well, 50% of the population doesn't sleep. Mm. And so if you don't sleep, I tell people your day starts when you go to bed. Mm. So because if your sleep isn't good, the rest of the next section of the day is not going to be productive. Right?
Yeah.
When you don't get a good night's sleep, there goes, you know, your brain doesn't recharge, your immune system, everything doesn't, you know, occur like it's supposed to happen. Right? So sleep has to be fixed, and not with medications, because medications are, unfortunately, they're addictive and it's not a true sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, how much water do you drink and what kind of water? So if you drink water, you know, that's contaminated with pharma water and chemical water, you know, that's not going to help you. I mean, you've seen the commercials on Camp Lejeune, you know, if you were exposed to these benzene, blah, 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 and you live there, you know, you're at higher risk for cancer. Well, we're all high risk of cancer because of the air pollution, water pollution, food pollution, you know, everything, unfortunately, is polluted today. So, so we have to know what is our water. So, you know, people have to drink water that has been purified, some sort. They can get the least expensive if they can't afford the more expensive, but they need something to purify their water because the water is completely contaminated. You can go in your local water department and we've done this, so we know. And it says what chemicals are in the water, and they all say carcinogenic, which means cancer causing. So, you know, this is a very big, real problem. And then you, not to mention all the medicines that are in the water. So anybody taking medicines, it could be birth control pills, it can be antidepressant, anything that goes in the water supply. And so you're drinking not only chemical water, you're drinking what I call pharmacological water. So that has to be, you have to, you know, ask each patient. Then I ask them, well, tell me, what do you eat? Okay. And now most of the time, once patients come here, they've already said they've changed their diet. I would say 100% have said, ask them, what is the first thing you changed since your diagnosis? And they'll say, I got off sugar, I got off junk food, so people know, you know, subconsciously what they need to do. Yeah. It's just that they, you know, don't do it. And so, but I would say for my patients, most of them have already, I'd say that's been a trend the last 5 years. Mm. And then I said, what is your movement? And so like, do you, you know, what do? Do you move? Do you walk? Do you run? Do you lift weights? You know, what do you do on a daily level to move the 800 muscles in your body? And so, because that's really important in a cancer patient. And then I say, okay, tell me, go over with me your stress for the past 10 years. So we know what from one cancer cell to tumor takes 10 years. Mm. So what happened? And every patient will immediately volunteer, okay, well, I was taking care of my sick parents. I had two sick children. I had, incredible work stress. I was working 18 hours a day, something like that. So, and when, you know, we go through stress, we don't talk about stress and how it truly affects us. We just kind of have to muscle through the stress.
Yeah.
And until someone kind of like, I think, you know, when something hits you, you have to say, well, my life is not right. So I need to figure out, you know, how to, you know, get myself out of this. So it makes you super laser focused on what's going on in your life. Otherwise, we just kind of aimlessly go through life and we don't live in conscious intention. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so then I kind of go over, you know, after I've gone over that, then I tell them, okay, well, let's go over your scans. Let's go over your blood work. And in oncology, typically they only order a chemistry panel, which looks at your electrolytes, your kidney, and your liver. Mm. And then they order a CBC, which is a complete blood count. And that looks at your white count, your hemoglobin, and all your blood indices. So that's all they do with the thousands and thousands and thousands of blood tests that are available to order. That's all they do. Like, for example, many large percent of the population is pre-diabetic and diabetic. Mm-hmm. So that is the blood test you would order would be the hemoglobin A1C, which is a reflection of your sugar over 90 days. So you always want to know if a cancer patient's pre-diabetic, right? Because cancer feeds on sugar. So you want to make sure that the patient, what that is. Then vitamin D. Vitamin D influences over 3,000 genes in your body, turning off cancer, turning off special genes for your immune system, etc. So you want to make sure, even though I live in California, you would think we have plenty of sun, etc. But I always tell people it's great to get out in the sun every day, but still people's levels of vitamin D are low. Then there's a blood test called C-reactive protein. It was the cover of Newsweek and Time 10, 12 years ago about inflammation's the precursor to all diseases. So CRP is a marker on the blood. It's a very common test. These are not uncommon. And it tells me the inflammation level. Mm-hmm. Well, inflammation is the precursor not only to cancer, but many diseases. So inflammation is like the red light on the dashboard of the car. And so you want to make sure that you don't just ignore that red light. You immediately go to the car place and get that investigated. Mm-hmm. And then hormones are the natural drugs to your body. So for example, the thyroid gland that sits in your neck is responsible for the energy voltage of every single cell in your body. And since we have now exposure to so many chemicals and EMFs, we have lots of thyroid dysfunction. So if your thyroid's not working, that means every cell in the body isn't working because we have something called voltage in our cells. And so our cells are supposed to be resonating at 25 volts. If they're not resonating at 25 volts, then we are not going to have the capacity to take care of ourselves. So energy to the cell is the most important thing on how to take care of the patient. And then we want to check, you know, DHEA sulfate. DHEA is the hormone of your adrenals. So your adrenals are your stress, immune, and longevity glands. Mm. So that's very important in cancer patients, because if their adrenals are low, then the patient doesn't have energy. They don't feel good. They don't affect your immune system, all these little things. So you want to check their estrogen. Like, for example, lots of men have high estrogen today, estradiol, because we have so many what they call xenoestrogens, foreign estrogens, in the environment. So they're changing the, you know, biological function of our cells and, you know, turning off, I mean, causing what they call epigenetics. Epigenetics means on top of your own genes, it's affecting the cell. So, and then, like, for example, males today, a large percentage of them have low testosterone. And so that means, I mean, that's going to affect every single physiological function in a male or female's body. So we need to know all these things. And this is, these are like basic foundational things. Okay. So on any patient that comes in, I would be checking that regardless. Let's say you came in just to, you know, get healthy. I would be doing that. But in a cancer patient, they've had the perfect storm. Yeah. Everything isn't right. Okay. So you got to figure out all the different imbalances in the body. What are the root causes of every single thing? Is it mold? Is it fungus? Is it parasites? Is it chemicals? Is it stress? I mean, you must address everything. And, you know, medicine today is, okay, a pill for every ill.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in a month. And then they never get to the why, where, when, and how of your problem.
Yeah.
Well, we know now that a functional medicine, I call it functional integrative approach, which was combining the best of conventional medicine with the new updated protocols that we know about. Okay. Because we know that a functional medical approach, the study was done at Cleveland Clinic, is far superior to creating health and building health than just a conventional approach. And I know a lot of people look for the easy way out. There is nothing easy. Yeah. Like, if you want to be super fit, not super fit, just want to be fit, it is regular exercise. It's not once a week. It's regular movement. Okay. You don't need to run triathlons or Ironmans, but you do need to move your body. And unfortunately today, people are on computers, they're sitting. We have a very, very, sedentary society. You know, there's this, I'm sure you've seen it, sitting's the new smoking. Mm-hmm. So because you must get up and go move. And so the big thing too is the muscles. You have to do not only cardiovascular, you must develop musculature by doing weights. Mm. And so all these things. So when we're working up a patient, the first visit, the patient is completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a lot.
They've seen a doctor who's asking all these questions. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're on a discovery journey of what's going on with each individual patient. We don't like, okay, here's what you get and everybody gets the same thing. No, it's like, here what we got to figure out with every single person. And it can be something really small too. You know, it's not something, it doesn't have to be a diagnosis of cancer. It can be something, you know, much smaller than that. And so, but if every day, what I am in awe of is that we are a miracle.
Yeah.
We have 50 to 100 trillion cells in our body, and we're not just a biophysical being, we're a biochemical, bioenergetic, and biopsychological, spiritual, emotional person. And so if you take all of that into account, we just need to really teach patients how to steward their body according to the laws of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, the ant kingdom, the roses, anything. They follow these natural laws. And if you interfere with these natural laws, your outcome isn't good, right?
Yeah.
And so We all, and I didn't make up the rules. I always tell patients, I didn't make these up. This is what I have learned over the years of reading and taking courses and reading papers and listening to every single, you know, kind of lecture. And every individual is an original. There's not this one size fits all. Okay. And so we have to meet the patient where they are, number one. Number two, we need to figure out from all their entire system what is going on with them. Everybody's not the same. And so, and then we figure out what works, because the patient's going to tell you, you know what? I feel great eating this way and exercising this way. I don't feel good if I eat a whole raw diet. Okay. So does a raw diet work for some people? Yeah, probably it does. But, you know, there are some basic rules that get off, you know, sugar, get off the fake food, get off the, you know, fast food, and, you know, buy real food, okay, that doesn't have a bunch of ingredients on the label. And so I know there's lots of food conscious companies now that are making, you know, phenomenal products. So, you know, it's all out there, and we just have to demand that we are getting anything that we're buying, it's going to serve our biological system.
Now, this is all so incredibly important, because you this is not anything you usually get, let alone from your regular doctor, or if you really do have cancer and you need more support, this is not a screening that anyone, I think, has ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, that answer alone was probably as long as about 3 regular doctor's visits.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like they follow the typical protocol. They, you know, you have cancer. Okay, here's what we could do. It's chemo, immunotherapy, or radiation, you know, and oh, just make sure you're getting calories and eat whatever feels good for you. And
right.
It could be very frustrating. So how do you make someone who doesn't understand how food plays a role in this? Like, why would food impact my journey? I can take all these other things that are going to kill off the cells and are going to really ultimately help me. That's what helps. So how do you convince someone that food really plays a role in this healing journey?
Well, first of all, you know, we may recommend surgery or chemo or radiation, as you know, and immunotherapy, and or what I call repurposed drugs, because we see very, very humongous cases. So they're very far gone.
Yeah.
And we have lots of work to do. But anything that we recommend, even if we recommend a scan, what protection does the patient need? If we recommend a biopsy, what does the patient's protection plan need to be before they do anything and during when they do anything? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's like the difference, that we may recommend those, but here's what you have to do to protect yourself, because everything, all of that is going to affect your immune system, right? The biopsy is going to affect your immune system. Surgery is going to affect your immune system. Chemo is going to affect your immune system. Radiation is going to affect. So we need to have counter protective measures for every single thing. Let's pretend I gave you antibiotics and I gave you amoxicillin, right? Well, you need to, what happens is you destroy the microbiome. So I need to tell you, okay, you need to reforest your microbiome with either, you know, raw sauerkraut and or kefir or something like that, or a bottle of probiotics to reforest the microbiome.
Yeah.
A lot of doctors use statins. I personally don't use statins for lowering cholesterol, because cholesterol is an important molecule for every single cell in your body. So if a doctor gives statins, I go, well, did he or she tell you to take coenzyme Q10? Protect your liver, because it goes through the liver. It causes prediabetes, and also it causes nutrient deficiencies, and it changes your hormones. So did the doctor tell you all that? And of course, you know, the doctor hasn't, but that's all documented in the literature. And so, you know, any doctor practicing should be thinking about how they're protecting and taking care of their patient. And so that's the huge difference. Now, I will tell you that, you know, I've been practicing a long time, and I know that people today know that food impacts their system, okay? A lot of people use food as medicine, okay? Meaning like in a negative way. So like, you know, you might go order a dozen donuts and eat half of them. Mm. So that means people have a void, a vacancy that they need to eat, you know, because really everybody knows if you eat donuts, it's not going to serve your body. It's not going to give you the vital information that the cells need to take care of you, correct? Mm-hmm. But if you ate, you know, let's say you drink a green juice in the morning with vital enzymes and nutrients, okay, and you ate eggs that have lecithin and choline and all those nutrients, and then you slice an avocado with good fats, right? So, you know, everything is going to have vital information for your cells to take care of you. So food is information to give to our cells to take care of you and turn on all the biochemical processes we need. We have something in our body called the Krebs cycle of energy. And the Krebs cycle energy was developed by Dr. Krebs. And you can actually, it's taught in every medical school in the United States. And it teaches what it is. It's a diagram of how vitamins work in the body, all right? And what they do and all the chemical reactions that they influence. And then it also will tell you what interferes with that, all right? So like, for example, exposure to heavy metals, mercury, lead, cadmium, there's lots of other heavy metals. Heavy metals will interfere with that Krebs cycle of energy. The Krebs cycle of energy makes something called ATP. ATP is the currency of life. So that's your body's own production of energy. And so if you want to make sure and ensure this Krebs cycle of energy, it's all dependent on nutrients. So you can measure every single nutrient in your body and you can see if you are sufficient or not. All right. Now, it's not what's floating around in the plasma, it's what's intracellular inside the cell. All right. What's floating around is just floating around, whether it's hormones or whether it's nutrients. But what is the intracellular concentration of these nutrients? And so, for example, you can order what they call a red blood cell magnesium level. So magnesium is involved in over 400 chemical reactions in our body. And we used to get magnesium from the soils, but now that the soils have all depleted of all their minerals, then we have lots of mineral deficiencies because the soils do not have it anymore. So now most of us should be taking some kind of mineral supplement along with magnesium. But I always tell people this is easy to check. All right. It's not expensive to check your nutrients. And so it's something worthwhile because people think, okay, I'm doing everything correct. I should have perfect numbers, right? So when we check them through our testing, with nutrient testing, we check up your absorbing, like a lot of people have absorption issues. So if you have absorption issues, you can be taking all the stuff in the world and not being absorbed, okay? Yeah. Because look at all the hundreds of things that go through our gastrointestinal tract, like, for example, glyphosate, which permeates our environment everywhere. And that's the active substance in weed killer. And so, unfortunately, what do all those things do? These chemicals, they disturb the normal vital functioning of our gastrointestinal tract, which is from chewing your food to swallowing down your esophagus. Your stomach makes hydrochloric acid. Hopefully, it makes hydrochloric acid. And I say that because if you eat a lot of dead food, only dead food, okay? And if you're stressed, you shut down your hydrochloric acid. Then it goes into your small intestines and makes enzymes. And so your food has to have enzymes, and then your body makes enzymes for you. And then you have your liver, gallbladder, pancreas, And they all have these vital functions for you to digest and absorb your nutrients and detoxify you. And then it goes down the large intestine. So if, again, if we just are mindful of the miraculous nature of how our body needs to work for us each and every day, all of us need to take the proper, you know, the proper instructions and how to apply them. And it's not something you can't learn, okay? I tell you, you know, we do educational conversations every 2 weeks on supporting patients, you know, on all of their concerns, whether it's eating or exercise, how cancer works, et cetera. And I'm not the only one doing it. There's many people educating. I mean, look at all the people on Instagram trying to educate people. Mm-hmm. So many different options out today. You know, that little phone has a Googleplex of information for you to learn how to steward your body. And so, but I think, you know, with the marketing out there with, you know, every television commercial is a drug, how to solve every problem.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's the food companies. You know, you don't see blueberries and broccoli advertised on TV, right? You see, you know, Ensure or some other, you know, cereal or cookies or something, dessert. You do not see the things that are going to serve your human system well. And so that's why we have to change, and we have to change it, because our public health system is not educating patients on how to live healthfully and how to build health. Just think what we could do so quickly if we just had communities and we taught them all how to, you know, cook and garden and eat and exercise and all these things. I mean, just think how healthy we'd all be.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of doctors who come out about saying how to be healthy are shunned, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so, but we still have to stay in a force, you know, meaning we need to all deliver our information in a palatable way and in a way that people can understand, number one. But number two, start making little changes. Because like usually what I tell patients, from the time you start with us, it takes about a year to turn your life around. Because, you know, you have to be mindful of every single thing that you're, you know, in your living environment. For example, you know, your shower, your pots and pans, your air, your sheets, the EMFs, I mean, it goes on and on. So there's a lot of things that have been instituted, oh, let's say 30, 35 years ago, that no one said, oh, we need to do a check and balance on this. We've introduced all of these technological, industrial, you know, revolutionary things, but how is it affecting the human? We now know we need to go back to nature. We need to live in harmony with nature. And so now everybody realizes that, and we're really far behind, but I do see a powerful movement of many people trying to change it. And hopefully people will, you know, awaken and be, companies can really create an awareness of health. And so, because I always tell people, it boils down to you as an individual. If you're healthy, then you are going to help someone else be healthy. And why? Because if you're healthy, you're not going to be a drag to them, mm-hmm. whether it's your family member, whether it's your significant others, if it's the workforce. I always tell people it boils down to each and every single one of us taking good care of ourselves so that our community can work together. And I was reading an article recently about, like, we have so many people taking medications. Okay. There's 10 prescriptions written per man, woman, and child. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. We cannot last this long. I mean, if you look at the rates of autism, some people say it's 1 in 36, one in 38, whatever it is. Okay, I didn't even learn about autism years ago, all right? But we should all be saying, why is there autism? What can we do to prevent that for mothers, okay? And there's lots of things they can do, okay? There's books written on this. And then in the way, look at today, what I see today in the last year is that there's an explosion of young people with cancer. Explosion. Yeah. And every day, you know, when you see one patient, you go, wow, how could this happen, right? But then when you see many of them, you go, wait, something is not right, yeah. Okay? Because yeah. The children, whether they're the babies or these young people, young adults, they're the canaries in the mine screaming to tell us, like, something's not right, okay? And so we all should be saying, you know, all these statistics are everywhere. Stop, look, and listen. Like, for example, if I have a young 30-year-old with breast cancer, so I, you know, obviously do the evaluation. I say, oh, so what did your doctor think about you getting diagnosed with cancer? And she goes, oh, she says she's seeing this way more prevalent. And I'm like, well, if she's seeing it, then why aren't we creating an awareness? Because there's no screening for young people. There's nothing.
Yeah.
For a boy, there's nothing. For a man, there's nothing. For a girl, all she's getting is a pap smear. Nothing more. Okay? Yeah. And once you detect something, it's 10 years old. So we can't be waiting. We've lost 9 years of opportunity to prevent a disaster or catastrophic situation in a patient's life. And so it can be turned around.
Oh yeah.
It's just going to take all of us working together in harmony and cooperativeness and collaborativeness and saying, oh, how can we help resurrect the health of humanity?
I absolutely agree. And I think that, I mean, you brought up so many important things. And I mean, even the concept that a year of somebody doing hard work, working on these lifestyle behaviors is how they can start to turn things around. And I know the journey doesn't end there. And I think that's what's so, you know, the big, like, monstrous elephant in the room that people just don't want to try tackling, because they're just like, wow, I need to change everything in my life. But like you said, I was kind of chuckling when you said, like, what if we had these societies or communities where we just taught people how to cook, taught people about real food, about movement, integrating themselves into their society, having, you know, great social and spiritual relationships. Well, to me, that sounds like the blue zones, which are the areas in our world that have the longest lived populations, the longest health spans, where they're very active and, you know, active in their community, and the lowest rates of, you know, a lot of these chronic diseases like cancers and all sorts of other degenerative diseases. Another thing I was kind of chuckling to myself about was when you brought up the commercials that we see online or on TV about, right, you know, medications and foods. And I was kind of imagining, what if there were commercials for broccoli and blueberries, like you said, but instead it treated it almost like a drug commercial, like, this broccoli has an amazing component, sulforaphane, that can do all these incredible things for your body. And be careful, there, the side effects are, there's no real side effects. So it is this entire education that we get from our society that is the opposite of this education that we should be giving people on how to live these more harmonious lives with the environment, with nature around us, with the people around us, but also in a way that just pings with our own physiology. Another, like, little topic that I know is not so little that I kind of want to crack into when it comes to cancer is this whole movement surrounding genetics and how a lot of people will say, like, oh, this cancer is genetically linked. And I feel like for a lot of people that gives them something to grab onto and say, like, oh, I got this cancer because of genetics. It's a genetically linked thing, so I was damned to get the cancer from the beginning. Can you explain, you brought up epigenetics a little bit, earlier, and can you just explain how genetics works when it comes to cancer? Are there cancers that are genetically linked that, you know, predispose us to potentially getting them? And can we still impact that risk even if we do have a genetic mutation that might increase our risk for a certain cancer?
Right. Well, genetics is important, but when it comes to cancer, genetics is only about 5%. And so, you know, in the last 10 years, they've had genetic testing, right, to see for if you have cancer. And they do the genetic testing. And I would say I rarely ever see, and I've done a lot of them, even though it's more popular in the last couple of years. But I've been doing it a long time. And very rarely do I see a patient who has a genetic predisposition to a cancer, period. Okay. Now, you brought up epigenetics. Epi means on top of. So these are all the influencers that influence the functionality of your 24-hour, 7-day-a-week genetics, okay? And so what are those epigenetics? Okay, epigenetics is stress. You mentioned community, your community, okay? The toxins, all the toxins, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of toxins in the environment. Obviously, what is the food composition that you're putting into your body? Do you have any category of bugs, whether it's viruses, bacteria, fungi, or parasites? All these things affect how the genetics play out, all right? So if you look at BRCA patient, a BRCA is a female that has a BRCA gene. There's BRCA1 and BRCA2. 50% of them never develop cancer.
Wow.
So that means the power we have is incredible. And then if you, let's say you know you're BRCA, then you should be on a pathway of prevention. Not wait till something happens, not remove your breast and ovaries because you have it, because BRCA genes are everywhere in your brain, everywhere. So you would be on a completely preventive protocol. I know because this is what I do every day in my practice. I have patients come in, say, I have this. My whole family's died of cancer. And I go, okay, we're going to prevent it. And because we have all these tools, literally all these tools that I talk about in my book that will that give us the information we need to prevent not only cancer, but other diseases. So genetics, people, and also, you don't want to pre-program yourself. Oh, my mom had breast cancer, so, oh, that means I'm high risk. No, don't think like that. Oh, my mom had breast cancer, so now I'm going to do everything how not to get any cancer.
Yes.
And I always tell people, do not become your problem. Do not own your problem. Any problem you have is a learning episode, and to help yourself and to help someone else. But don't become the label.
Yeah. This is extremely important, and everyone needs to know this. So I think getting, first of all, the Cancer Revolution book so that people can start to understand, okay, how do I take this these techniques into my life? What changes can I start to really make now? And how can I start preventing it, not only for me, but starting to make lifestyle changes that will be reflective of those who come after me. And I think that's what Dom and I are always trying to do as we step into parenthood and having a child of our own. What are we really setting up our environment as in order to be supportive for those who come after us? And that is, you're helping people on so many different levels. I mean, obviously with your prevention and then with cancer and rewriting the script on how these things get to be. And I mean, there's so much content. There's so many other areas that we could talk about, but unfortunately, we can't take up too much of your time. So where can people continue to learn from you? And maybe even if they are in California, schedule with you.
Right. Well, first of all, like you mentioned my book, Cancer Revolution, because that book was written for cancer, but there's a lot of basic principles for healthy living, okay, and building your health. And more importantly, educating yourself. Everybody should be educating themselves on how to be the best version of themselves, okay? And then when you read the book, don't become overwhelmed. Okay. If I were to tell you to go learn Japanese, you wouldn't be very good in 3 months. So look at the mastery of yourself is something that's going to take time, diligence, focus, clarity, and execution. And so just do little by little. If you do little by little, like this month, I'm going to get my kitchen perfect. Okay. Meaning like get rid of all the plastic, you know, get the right pots and pans, you know, just get the right water, these little things. Just do little by little, all right? So I always, because I tell patients when I see them, you're going to be completely overwhelmed. But if we were teaching this naturally all the time, you guys, from birth, then you would not be, you know, the patient wouldn't be overwhelmed because this is something basic teaching we should be teaching every single body, okay? Every single person. And then then Keneally MD, our Instagram, we do educate on Instagram. And then every 2 weeks, we have something called the Cancer Conversation. Mm. And we talk about everything. I mean, everything. We talk about testing and what we do. We talk about how things affect you, et cetera, et cetera. And I had a patient last night that is an attorney from the East Coast. And his doctor was on the phone because a lot of patients bring their own doctor on the phone so they can learn also, right? So he said, oh, I've been doing your cancer conversations. The doctor said that. Amazing. And I have learned so much. And now this is an integrative functional doctor. Wow. So it's good feedback that even a doctor is learning. And so because, you know, you don't learn this in a weekend or a year-long course. There's an enormous amount of information to learn. I tell people there's 1.2 million PubMed articles per year. That means we're all behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I think that's fantastic. And like you said, so many places to continue to learn online that people can start tapping into. I think one of the main messages is that it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And it's the small changes that we make week to week, month to month, year over year that we continue throughout the rest of the decades of life. So eventually we can be fluent in the Japanese of our own body and really start to learn how to integrate all of these different behaviors into our life. Dr. Keneally, thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much information with us. I know that we could talk for hours because Jen and I just love to nerd out over this, but I hope people go out to check out your Cancer Revolution book and check you out on Instagram. And maybe pop into the Cancer Conversations, and hopefully we get to chat with you soon again in the future.
Such incredible information. I wish we all had access to this, right? It's just something that's really needed when we go to the root cause of what's really happening in our lives and causing disease. So hopefully you got to learn a lot from her, and you just check out the link so that you can continue to learn. I think we all know someone possibly suffering from cancer, or we will in our life, which is unfortunate. So please check out our show notes. We'll have everything linked up. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe, hit that review and rate button, because it just helps us to be seen by so many more people. And if you can, share out these episodes that you think can be really beneficial for others to hear as well.